Last week, we started a new series titled How to Build a Temple. When you receive Christ Jesus into your heart and into your life, when you accept Him as your Lord and personal Savior, you begin a journey with God that lasts the rest of your life. You're on this trajectory and this path with Him that He's planned for you. From the foundation of the earth, it says that He knows us, He wrote us, He created us, He knew us in our mother's womb, that these paths have been laid out ahead of time for us. And we join Him now in His good work here on the earth. When we receive Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts and in our lives personally. Because of that, the place where the Holy Spirit dwells has always been and will always be the temple of God. That's the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. And so much of the New Testament, much of the epistles are devoted to helping us understand this concept that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, that our bodies are a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. And just like there was a need to have the temple be set a certain way and to be holy and to be careful the way that it was constructed and put together, so it is with our lives that God calls us to live in a way that is holy, to live in a way that is unique, to live in a way that is separate from the world, to live in a new way as new creations. Well, this project of building the temple is a daunting one. It's a daunting one whether we're building a spiritual temple in our lives or when they were building the physical temple back in the days of David and Solomon. The most ambitious building project ever attempted in Israel. And it's the most ambitious building project we will ever, well, that's already begun in our lives. And I don't know about you, but it seems sometimes like a daunting task, like an overwhelming task to think about that. I'm sometimes content to think, well, the Holy Spirit dwells in me, and in these moments, He's part of my life in these places, but really, it's an all-consuming thing. That He wants all of us at every moment in everything that we're doing to be consecrated over to Him. And it seems like an overwhelming task. And if you feel that way too, I totally get that. And I would say that you're not alone, because it seems to me that it must have also been a daunting, overwhelming task for David, and likely for Solomon. At least I'd say that based on David's comments twice in his challenge to Solomon to build the temple for the Lord. I want to focus in today. Last week we kind of looked at the broad picture of this. And today I want to focus in on a specific moment in David's speech to the Israelites and to Solomon. If you want to turn with me, we're going to look in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And I want to start in verse 10. And then I want to continue into verse 20. So we're going to do verse 10 and verse 20. And what this surrounds is important. Let me read it to you first, and then I want to kind of explain. Verse 10 says, David is talking to Solomon, and he says, "So take this seriously, the task of building the temple. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as His sanctuary." We might reverse those then. "So take this seriously. Be strong and do the work." Then he continues in verse 20 and says, "Then David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged by the size of the task, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work is finished correctly." Now, what's interesting, I think, about those two passages is that they bookend a really important section right between them. What's the part that's between be strong and do the work, and David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. The work that had to be done. Because in between it is the description of all of the things that needed to be done. All of the plans, all of the instructions, all of the amounts of materials and the people and the time and the places, and all of that was described in between it. And I think David knew that this looks overwhelming. And so he begins it by saying, just be strong and do the work. Then he tells him, you ever done those kind of compliments where you tell somebody a positive thing and then the things that they need to work on and then another positive thing at the end, the compliment sandwich? That's what this is, the encouragement sandwich. Be strong. You've got this. Here's how impossible it is. Now just remember that you've got this. That's kind of, I think, what it feels like. And that's the only logical reason I can see that David would feel the need to say it twice, both before he describes the task and after he's finished describing the task. Because I think Solomon was thinking, no way. That's too big. The words that he uses, these aren't the first time that these words were uttered. Be strong and courageous. These were well-known words to the Israelites, and they were significant words. They were weighty words. They would have been known when he said them, they would have recognized what he meant and what he was saying and the weight that they carried with them. And so I want to take a little bit to explore what is really at the heart of these two words that David uses to encourage Solomon, to see that if that same encouragement can find its way somehow into our hearts and our lives as we begin a task that can sometimes also seem overwhelming. And he starts off by saying, be strong. Now, when you think about building something, I'm sure there's a certain amount of strength, muscle, that's involved in that, but I don't believe that's exactly what David is telling Solomon to do, to be muscular, to go to the gym, work out, and make sure you're fit enough to do this. Instead, the word that he says in the original language, it does mean strong, but in a different way. It means confidence and firmly planted. Okay? Confidence, firmly planted. You ever had something that somebody asked you to do or told you to do, but you just weren't sure that you were up to that task? Weren't sure that you could actually do what they'd asked you to do? I want to look at a character today that experiences a little bit of this to understand a bit of what Solomon is, or what David wants Solomon to understand about this idea of strength being firmly planted and confident. If you want to go back a little further with me, we're going to look at another huge patriarchal figure in Scripture. We're going to look at Moses. And I want to jump back to Moses right at the beginning of his earthly ministry, right at the beginning of God's calling to him. If you jump back with me to Exodus 4, we're going to start in verse 10, and I'm skipping quite a lot of stuff. This skips the burning bush. God is talking to Moses, and Moses is not feeling particularly confident in what God is asking him to do. And so in verse 10, Moses says to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to me, your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." You hear? Do you hear the denial of, I hear you, God, what you're calling me to do, but I can't do it. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Fill in the blank. What has God called you to do that you've said, I'm not? Fill in the blank. I can't because of, fill in the blank. Listen to how God responds to him. He says, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go." Do you hear it? Do the work. Do you hear the parallel? He says, go. I will be with your mouth. I will teach you what you shall speak. And he goes on later in verse 21, just to kind of put a little bit more final touch on it. He says, when you go. Okay, so God's sort of already assuming he's going to go. When you go, to just while you're doing what I told you to do, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power. What was Moses confident in? Was he confident in his own abilities? No. Was he confident that he could even do the task? No, that whole chapter is Moses trying to convince God that he's the wrong guy. Was Moses confident that he was going to be able to do these miracles that God had done? No. Moses was confident in God's ability to do these things. And not only that, not only was he confident in God, God gave him the words. He gave him the powers. He gave him everything he needed to do what he called him to do. It's exactly what happened with Solomon, isn't it? David tasked him with this thing that God had called him to do and provided everything he needed to do it. He didn't ask him to be confident in himself to be able to accomplish this building of the temple. He didn't ask him to be confident in his own abilities, but in the God that had called him to the task in the first place. God was providing the labor. God was providing the supplies. God provided the instructions. All Solomon had to do was show up and do the work, to be faithful, to trust in the Lord and his strength. Ephesians 6:10, Paul echoes this and he says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. See, God loves to call us to impossible things. But he never calls us to things without giving us and equipping us for the task. We're going to spend more time on that next week. But he never calls us without equipping us. He just calls us into things that we're not able to do in ourselves. That's it. He just calls us to things that we know we can't accomplish. And he does it for one simple purpose, so that we will know and be confident and be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, and know that he loves us, and know that he has a plan for our lives, and know that he has saved us, and know that he has called us, so that we can say with confidence. But David doesn't stop there with Solomon, right? That's the precursor to the instructions. He says, be strong and do the work. Then he tells him all the work that has to be done. And I have a feeling that confident, firmly planted, was starting to shake a little. And so David reiterates. He adds, well, he says, be strong again. And then he adds a word. What's the word? Courageous. Be strong and courageous. You know what courageous means? Courageous means to be determined. It means to be steadfast and unwavering. That's courageous. It takes courage to stand up for things in your life. It takes courage to stand against the tide of the world. It takes courage to stand up and do the thing that God has called you to do. It takes courage to be a good parent. to be a good friend, to be a good husband, to be a good father, to be a good child. It takes courage, because you have to be determined to do the thing. You have to be steadfastly committed to doing the thing. And so David knows it's not going to be enough for me to tell him to have confidence in the Lord. What he needs is this dedication and determination to say, I'm not just confident that God can do it, but I'm confident that I need to stick with it. And so in both verse 10 and verse 20, he says the words, do the work. Do the work. It's gonna look impossible. It's gonna look hard and challenging, and you won't feel like you can do it. Do the work. Because the minute we begin the work, God is right there alongside with us. There's a story I love to tell. I guess I'll tell it next week. But there's a great story I love about how when we jump, God fills up the pool. I'll tell it next week because it's more in what we're talking about next time. But do you ever have such a big task to do that you just procrastinate doing it? Oh my gosh, that's my whole life. It just, you got so much to do that you just go, I'm just going to find what is the lowest common denominator. I got a giant project to do. I'll put the dishes in the dishwasher. Whatever's the thing I can accomplish the quickest, that's the thing I want to do first. You ever done that? It may just be me. I don't know. But I know that is so much my life is, yeah, put it off. This is what I say to myself. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Put it off till I feel like it. That's the wording I always use with myself. I just don't feel motivated right now. I don't feel driven to do it right now. And I think David knew that if he asked Solomon, just when you feel motivated, do the temple, that was never going to get done. It's too big. It's too impossible. If you waited till you feel motivated to do it, it was never going to get started. And if you were thrown off by every little thing that didn't work the way you thought it was supposed to work, you would quit. And it'd never get finished. These two things that he tells him is to be confident that the Lord that called you to this is going to see you through to the end of it. But not only that, be steadfast, get to work, and don't give up. So get to it now and stick with it to the end. You see? Remember our guy Moses? Remember Moses that was so lacking in confidence? It's exactly what he did, though. He got to work, and he did the thing that God had called him to do. He didn't want to do it. He drug his feet about it, and he made excuses. You know what he did? Ultimately, he did the work that God called him to do, and he led God's people faithfully to the promised land. And it was no easy journey. And it was no small amount of time. And it was no small commitment. Do you realize that Moses was 80 years old when God called him? This isn't Noah time. This isn't like 500-year-old and 800-year-old lifespans. He was 80 years old when God called him to do this monumental task. When he got there to the promised land, when he saw it through, do you think he felt like God had faithfully walked with him every step of the way? You bet. See, by the end, he had learned this. He knew it. He didn't live in Paul's time, but he sure knew the words that Paul was going to say, "Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might." In fact, when he got to the promised land and the time came to transition the leadership over to his servant and his protege Joshua, and for the people to enter the land by conquering the people that lived there, that time came, I'm going to read it to you. It's in Deuteronomy. It's in chapter 31. At the end of this 40-year journey. Moses is 120 years old. This is what he tells the people, and then this is what he tells Joshua. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of the people there, for it is the Lord your God who goes before you and goes with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And then Moses summoned Joshua, and in front of all Israel, he tells him personally these words, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes with you and goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. Do you think when Solomon heard those words that he felt the weight of that calling? Be strong and courageous and do the work that God has called you to do. The task seems overwhelming. It did for Moses. It did for Joshua. It did for Solomon. And if we're honest, it does for us. At least it does for me. The task of building a temple in my heart and in my life that is worthy of the residence of the Holy Spirit seems overwhelming. In fact, it seems impossible. And yet, we serve the God of the impossible. We serve the God that created the universe from nothing, who formed man out of the dust, who flooded the whole world, and then parted the Red Sea. We serve the God who calmed the wind and the waves with just his words and even conquered death. Is there anything too hard for our God? And so David doesn't just tell Solomon to do these things, but he also adds what not to do. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged by the size of this task, for the Lord your God is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will see to it that all the work is finished correctly. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because the God that has called you to this task will equip you for it. We'll pick up on that next week. So right now, let me just close us in prayer. God, you have called us to a task that is beyond our ability, and yet you have given us the tools, the gifts, the instructions, the manual for how to get to work. So, Lord, I pray that you would encourage and strengthen us, that when we are afraid, that when we doubt, that when we are in fear, that when we're worried, that you would come up around us and surround us and remind us that not only are you there with us, but you're going before us. Remind us of the words of Paul that we read earlier, that nothing can separate us from your love. And that when these challenges happen, we are no less loved. God, you love us more. You loved us first. Lead your people. Guide our hearts and our lives. Teach us to follow you faithfully and to get ready to do the work. It's in Jesus' name we pray.